Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 11th, 2012. I'm Dave Wett. The space shuttle is bringing a lot of media attention to South Los Angeles. In less than 12 hours, the shuttle will begin its final journey from LAX to the California Science Center. Max Schwartz has reaction from residents along the route.
Space Shuttle Endeavour will start the final phase of her retirement mission tomorrow. The last leg of the shuttle's land voyage will take her down Martin Luther King Boulevard in South Los Angeles on Saturday. The shuttle's 2-mile-per-hour crawl will prompt street and sidewalk closures. Controversy arose when officials said there would not be a parade to view the shuttle, and there would be multiple street and sidewalk closures. But the people I spoke with on Martin Luther King Boulevard are happy the shuttle is coming through their neighborhood.
I think that this is a great neighborhood for it to come through. I would rather it come through here than go through Beverly Hills. I think some people in this neighborhood may have never seen anything like that before.
One man I spoke with believes the shuttle is valuable and hopes the move goes on without a hitch.
It is a beautiful thing for humanity in the ghetto to see something like that pass through.
It is not every day one of the space shuttles goes through your neighborhood, but for these people, it means a lot more than that because the spotlight is on them for the day, when South Los Angeles can feel like a neglected part of the city. But not everyone is happy about the shuttle coming through their neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm very upset because I think what they did is went behind our back politically and did not inform the community, nor did we take a vote to have this permission done in our community. I think it was very disrespectful, very rude, and no consideration for our community.
The exhibit is scheduled to open at the end of the month. Max Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa announced a $1.5 million grant from the Justice Department to expand Los Angeles' gang reduction efforts. The city will also work with USAID to share crime reduction strategies internationally. In particular, they'll help law enforcement in El Salvador, one of that country's largest gangs, MS-13, which was started in Los Angeles. Today, President Obama declared MS-13 an international crime organization. That'll give the government more tools for going after the gang's finances. Today is National Coming Out Day. The holiday started with a march on Washington for lesbian and gay rights back in 1987. Rosalie Murphy reports on celebrations in Boyle Heights.
Miguel Garcia's play, Foundation for a Better Gay Brown Life, is led by a character called Gary the Gaytino. He's a program officer at Garcia's fictional nonprofit, and he's exactly what he sounds like. Gay, Latino, and a little nonsensical. But that's one of the goals of this month's Brown and Out Theater Festival, which Garcia produced, to make today, National Coming Out Day, less daunting for the Latino LGBT community.
And I think making people laugh is sometimes the best medicine for depression. I think sometimes you need to heal the trauma through drama.
Garcia is the executive producer of the Brown and Out Theater Festival, which is in the midst of its second season at Casa 0101 in Boyle Heights. The show features 8 playwrights, 3 directors, and a cast of 10.
There was some concern about whether or not the show was going to be well-received. And our first year, it was surprisingly well-received, and we sold out. And it kind of blew people away that our little gay show did so well in a neighborhood like Boyle Heights.
This year, the festival is coordinating with the Latino Equality Alliance. Here's Ari Gutierrez, an alliance co-chair.
And so our shared values as Latinos is family is huge. And, well, it's huge for our LGBT people, too. We, you know, they're our lifeblood, and we want to be part of the family. And we see, you know, a homophobia as something that splits families apart.
The alliance formed as a no-on-Prop 8 coalition 4 years ago to support legal gay marriage. They're still fighting to channel Latino LGBT culture into political advocacy.
A lot, really kind of hilarious comedy, like, because I use that in order to kind of talk about these political issues of marriage equality. And, you know, you make people laugh. At the same time, you leave them kind of thinking like, wow, you know, I think they're bringing up really good points.
Brown and Out 2's curtain goes up tonight at 8. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
Bicycles are starting to nudge their way into the hearts of many Los Angeles residents. The proof is the huge turnout for Ciclavia. The 5th Ciclavia was held on Sunday when bicycles and pedestrians took over the streets of downtown and South Los Angeles. Reporter Denise Guerra had so much fun on the 9-mile route, she decided to ride farther.
I bought a new bike specifically for Ciclavia. and I'm standing in front of the Flying Pigeon Bike Shop here in Highland Park, one of the many meetup spots for people all over LA to begin Ciclovia. But for those of you who don't know what Ciclovia is about, 7-year-old Valentina thinks she knows the answer. And what's Ciclovia?
My daddy's Ciclovia.
Yes, that's right. I am the inventor of Ciclovia for my daughter.
For the record, Valentina's father, Joseph Ray Ali, did not invent Ciclovia, but he did arrange this meetup group online. He's the owner of the Flying Pigeon Bike Shop and the Bike Oven Bicycle Repair Collective in Highland Park.
It's a lot of fun. It's a really special day in Los Angeles, especially I think if you've lived here for a while or you grew up here, because it is such a different city in these streets that we're going to be on today from what they normally are. And I think that's really the contrast. I think in a grander sense, Ciclovia represents the transformation of Los Angeles into the city that it really ought to be.
Under the 5 freeway and make a left on Avenue 20 and then a right on Pasadena Avenue. And that will take us to the Chinatown entrance in about 10 minutes. So stick to the right hand.
This was my fourth Ciclovia, but this was Shannon Grube's first time. She moved to LA a month ago.
Where did you come from?
I came from San Francisco, which is extremely bike friendly. So this is my first time getting my bike out on the streets in LA.
LA Walks has partnered with Ciclovia in a joint effort to get Angelenos out of their carts. Rena Rubenstein joined the parade of walkers down Figueroa Boulevard.
Walking should be a big part of LA. It's amazing on this day because I've walked the whole Ciclovia route before. It was a little bit shorter than today.
Though the route from East LA all the way to USC is 9 miles, I decided to do some extra biking back and forth along the route. All in all, I traveled about 30 miles that day. No gas, no traffic, no problem. If only LA can be this way every day. This is Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
Has been illegal under the California Retail Food Code since 2006. Community activists will hold a town hall meeting tonight in South Los Angeles to build support for changing that law. Omar Shamut has more on their campaign.
Street vendors hawking fresh fruit and tamales from push carts are as much a part of LA as sunshine and beaches. But it's actually a misdemeanor to sell food, or anything for that matter, on public sidewalks. That's out of step with many big cities in the U.S., says Mark Valianatos, an urban and environmental policy expert at Occidental College.
Ironically, it's the only one of the 10 largest cities in the U.S. that doesn't allow for the selling of food on the sidewalks.
Valianatos says many low-income immigrants take up street vending anyway, at the risk of having their carts confiscated.
And this is one of the few economic niches that they could move into to start providing for themselves and their family.
He estimates there are as many as 12,000 unlicensed vendors in the city. Because the practice is a vital source of income for so many residents, activists are pushing city council to reform the law. Janet Favela is an organizer with the East LA Community Coalition. She says there's a ways to go before concrete proposals are made and that many questions must still be asked.
If we legalize street vending, what should we do? What should it look like? How is it going to better serve their needs so that they do feel like there's an opportunity for them?
But even if changes are made, Valianatos says California's health code presents more challenges to vendors.
If you want to operate legally, you'd have to have a cart that has a certain numbers of sinks on it, or refrigeration, or heating up water, etc. So I think the solution might be to try to work with the regulators and work with the companies that manufacture food trucks and carts and with vendors to try to come up with kind of a lower cost version of the required equipment.
If a solution can be reached, Valianatos says that it could provide an economic boost to the city too.
This activity is happening in many places, but right now the city isn't getting, they're not getting any permit fees from it, and they're not getting any sales tax from it.
Beyond the financial incentives for the city, Favela says vendors also help keep Angelenos healthy.
We do want to incentivize, right, healthy foods and fruits and vegetables, because we do think that, you know, there are specific areas that are part of the city that don't have much access to healthy foods or fresh fruits and vegetables.
And she says doing that has a positive impact on the local economy.
Street vendors always say, you know, we do contribute to this economy. We buy all of our products here in the city of Los Angeles.
Coalition members have held initial meetings with city council staffers and plan to keep building community support for their movement over the next few months. Omar Shamut, Annenberg Radio News.
it's beginning to feel a little like fall in Southern California. We had a good dose of the wet stuff today and cooler weather. Temperature will drop to 58 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, we will have a 40% chance of scattered showers in the morning, but we can expect bright sunshine by afternoon with a high of 71. The weekend will warm up and be sunny. Look for 77 on Saturday and 87 on Sunday. So much for fall. Edinburgh Radio News. A walk across country in the hopes of eliminating youth violence. Vice presidential candidates Paul Ryan and Joe Biden face off tonight in what some media are calling the Catholic debate. Both men are members of the Catholic Church. University of New Hampshire sociologist Michelle Dillon says the two men define their faith very differently.
The side that Joe Biden represents is that we have to pay attention to the common good of the individual, and the community is important in terms of looking out for the poor. And Paul Ryan, the Republicans published their budget back in April. It was widely condemned by, in fact, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And then the other side of it, of course, are the issues of abortion and same-sex marriage.
Pew Research Center data released yesterday say about 25% of Americans identify as Catholics, but they've never been a monolithic voting bloc.
There really is no Catholic vote itself, so there's no block of Catholic voters. You know, liberal Catholics are more likely to be pro-choice and anti the death penalty and pro, you know, minimum wage and welfare for the poor, whereas Catholics who identify as Republican are much more likely to disagree with those items and at the same time to oppose abortion.
The vice presidential debate airs tonight at 6. Today, the Reverend Corey Brooks of Chicago is in Los Angeles to conclude a cross-country walk. He started this journey in New York this past June to raise money and awareness for his project to eliminate youth violence, especially gun violence. I spoke with Reverend Brooks earlier today and asked how he felt now that his 3,000-mile mission is almost at an end.
Well, it's kind of bittersweet. The bitter part is that we're having to complete this task, and some of the people who didn't get who started out with us didn't get to finish. I wish they could have finished. And we have not yet raised the full $15 million that we wanted to raise, so that's kind of the bitter part of it. But the sweet part of it is that we have raised some money. We have brought a lot of attention and a lot of awareness, and we get to go back home and get back to Chicago and do some work there. So it's a bittersweet moment.
Is it true that since June 5th, when you started this journey from New York, you have not taken a ride in a vehicle?
No, we've ridden. We had what we call is 3,900 miles. 500 of those miles are what we call grace miles. Those were miles that we were able to ride.
And while you're on this journey, your walks are punctuated by occasional visits and meetings in various cities or towns. How has that gone?
It's gone really well. A lot of the places that we visited, we worked with not-for-profits and for churches and organized rallies or walks with them.
You mentioned at the beginning that the purpose of this mission has been to raise funds and to raise awareness. And the funds will be used how?
Funds to be used to build a community and economic development center for on the south side of Chicago, to build a community center that's a model and a prototype for what can be done across America. So we're trying to build a prototype community center.
Now, your focus, at least initially, is on Chicago. Is that because of a recent spike in crime rates in Chicago?
Right. Absolutely. Our focus first is Chicago because it's the number one murder area in America right now, and they have had the largest increase in murder activities, so gun violence activities. So we want to hit where we want to put something where it's being hardest hit.
You mentioned that you're going back to Chicago, but not before you have a a meeting later this afternoon in Watts and then in Compton.
Correct.
What's going to happen at those?
Well, in Watts, we are meeting with a community center with a lot of kids, with about 200 kids. And then in Compton, we have a walk plan with about 300 to 500 people, a peace rally. And then tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Bistro on Pico, we're having a fundraiser.
What other experience have you had in your work with Los Angeles or parts of the Los Angeles community?
This is my first time working with organizations in Los Angeles, and it's been really good. So I can't wait to do some further work with some organizations here in the future.
That was Reverend Corey Brooks, who was in Los Angeles to conclude his cross-country walk to eliminate youth violence. And in case you missed it, gas price fever is finally breaking in Southern California. After a 50-cent surge last week, Governor Jerry Brown agreed to allow the sale of so-called winter blend gasoline 3 weeks early. Selling less strictly regulated gas should help alleviate pump sticker shock. Dr. Woodrow Clark is a qualitative economist and co-Nobel Prize recipient. He says there are two issues at play in the dramatic spike.
One is, why are the gas prices so high? And that has a lot to do with manipulation of the supply for the market, and consequently, it's now become almost a monopoly here in California, let alone other parts of the United States. So the companies that are supplying the gasoline are really the ones who have control over it, and therefore can put the prices up just by closing down a valve or a plant at some point.
Dr. Clark says the rebates and incentives that have been given to gas and oil companies in the last few decades should be instead shifted to renewable energy. Now we check in with Kim Loeffler to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Dave. Coming up tonight on ATVN, our weather anchor Chelsea Goss takes us line dancing at In Cahoots. And we talk to SC students about their Seal Beach anniversary. And we'll be talking about the vice presidential debate, and you can check out our coverage of the debate on ATVN.org. Be sure to watch Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Kim. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Sam Weiser. Rosalie Murphy is our producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Schrank. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Dave West.